This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm Capriotto here, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy, and welcome to the 207th episode of the Town Hall Academy. Now, right up front, I want to warn you, this discussion may just change the way you do business. I want you to give this episode your all, and when done, implement the tactics you discover. I know your business will blossom. Scheduling future appointments is not a new concept. Now, you know about it, but have probably never decided that it was good for your business or your customer. We have solid statistics that demonstrate that 59% of your customers are willing and ready to accept a future appointment for maintenance service. How about that for retention? Ever walk out of the dentist's office without your next hygiene appointment? Rarely, I'm sure. How about a hair salon? I'm with Bill Thompson from IMR, who brings critical data to support this strategy. Shop owner Greg Skolnick is here, and he's been doing this for years and has the data to prove the strength of this strategy. And shop owner Craig Noel, well, he's starting to pre-book right now. There's a ton of passion flowing through this entire episode, and I believe you'll be moved to start pre-booking in your business. Grateful to Shop Marketing Pros and Shopware for sponsoring the Academy. Hey, contactless service continues to be key in keeping your bays full while remaining 6 feet apart. Shopware's completely digital workflow will wow your customers and keep profits up. Tara from Topol Service Center commented recently, "Thank God for this amazing cloud-based software during this difficult time." Thanks to Carolyn and hashtag Team Shopware. Book a demo at getshopware.com. Hey, have you realized that your marketing looks exactly the same as the shop down the road? Well, your shop is different. You know that. And it deserves marketing that is as unique as your shop is. Let Shop Marketing Pros show your community just how different you are. On the web at shopmarketingpros.com. Hey, please remember that our show Aftermarket Weekly is now a podcast. Search for Aftermarket Weekly on your favorite podcast listening app and subscribe. All the videos of the show are on aftermarketweekly.com. Listen to the wisdom from my guest host and see a virtual tour from a North American shop owner. Hey, this episode's key talking points are already done for you. Now, they reside on the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/A207. There was a ton of passion flowing throughout this entire episode, and I believe you'll be moved to start pre-booking in your business. So, let's talk about it. We're here to talk about pre-scheduling appointments, and the time has come. And I know one thing for sure. My friend Greg Skolnick, who's here, he's gonna hit you hard on this topic, and Bill Thompson is gonna bring some stats to play, and Craig Noel is gonna say, "Hey, I'm doing it, so get on board." All right, who's with me here today is Bill Thompson, president of IMR Inc. and AutomotiveResearch.com. Bill, maybe your second or third time on the show. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Craig Skolnick, Motorworks, Rockville, Maryland, the man who has the 4-day work week and has been pre-scheduling for years.
Yes, we have. I've been preaching this for a while, and I don't know why some of you guys out there are not listening, but today you're going to listen.
Because before we went live, I said to my team, we've got to get mean. You know, the proof of concept for, you know, doing a lot of things right over the years, I think in 2021, we've got to have a brand new slate of must-dos. And for me, this is one of them. Also with us is Craig Noel from Sun Automotive, Springfield, Oregon. And congratulations on your fourth store.
Thank you very much.
Wow. I just can't imagine, and we were able to be so lucky to get Craig here. But the reason Craig is here is because he just started to do pre-scheduling, and so we want to hear how he rationalized it and what he's doing about it. And of course, Greg being the stalwart, I think, of our industry in doing this. So look at Bill is the data guy, and we have data to prove why pre-scheduling is important. But before we get to that, Bill brought us some excellent, if you will, additional information to help us all understand, hey, listen, you know, guys, everything that you've done to be safe in COVID, it matters. It matters to the industry. So, Bill, I want you to walk through these first few slides.
Sure. So just as a quick background where this data is coming from, back in July, you know, we had an idea that we should be talking to households every week to kind of gauge sentiment and attitudes, channel share, and things about what their behaviors are during this pandemic period, because there were a lot of questions. And the one thing that you're going to note, we started in July, the very last number on, it says week 24, but the reality is it's really week 26. The very last data point on every one of these slides is going to be from a week ago. So it's really current data. And the more things stay the same, the more they stay the same. One of the things that we started to look at was people's fear, right? Because we wanted to gauge fear and behavior and understanding what people were actually fearful of. We have a series of attributes that we track, but this was one that hasn't changed kind of in a lick at all for all these weeks, which is, you know, how worried are you about being exposed to COVID at a repair shop, right? And we're not quite at a third, but getting close to 29% of respondents week over week over week of 1,000 vehicle maintainers week over week over week are basically saying, yeah, a third of them say, I'm kind of worried about going to a repair shop. That's one data point to keep in mind. And so as all of the folks that are on the line know, all of these mechanisms have been put in place to abate that fear, right? Because it's real. And so, you know, I know independent shops and dealerships are one aspect of the marketplace, but it's a real thing. And it hasn't declined either. That's point number one.
Next slide, which is research reviews for vehicle repair shops.
So again, something we had never tracked before. I think people kind of knew that research and reviews was kind of something that was important, but we're getting nearly half of the vehicle maintainers, right? If their vehicle needed maintenance today, they would actually look up a review for a repair shop. It, again, right, to think that it doesn't come into play and compounding with the fact that we're in this COVID period where people are fearful, then they're probably looking for some very specific things when they're looking at reviews or looking at, you know, whether or not they should come to your shop.
Got it. Next, touchless customer service. The thing I love about what's going on with this information bill is, should we back down? Should we keep doing what we're doing? And the data helps us understand that.
Right. And this is a very interesting one. Again, it hasn't abated. It's been very consistent that the consumers are saying, yes, I want a touchless customer experience. In another research piece that we did, we talked to 25,000 households about now, what do they expect now, which is exactly what this is showing, versus what do they expect when things abate in their area? When things change or kind of go back to normal, what are they really looking for? They're still looking for this touchless, but you know what they're really looking for? The whole mask thing, out. That's like fourth, fifth, sixth down the road. What they really want to know is that their car has been disinfected and their keys have been disinfected. Some very basic blocking and tackling, and that will make them feel comfortable. So the dynamics are going to change as we ease into maybe the summer-ish in terms of what their expectations are, and people's fear levels kind of decrease. Their behaviors are going to kind of follow that same notion.
And I love this next slide. We've talked about it before, financing.
Yeah, I'll give Carm all due credit for this question, because right as we launched it, he said, you know, you should really ask about these couple things. Well, this was one of them. And lo and behold, a good 40%. I just got a flyer or something, a reminder that I need my vehicle serviced. And it actually mentioned financing for service, which I thought was fascinating. The person we go to had already kind of thought about doing this, but it's an option, especially when we're talking costly repairs, right? So it's something that people will absolutely consider if it's a bit, and if it's appropriate for your shop to offer it up, great, but it's certainly something that people are thinking about.
Hey guys, without going too deep into this thing and doing a whole show on financing, Greg, do you offer financing to customers inside of the pitch?
No, we generally don't. I kind of look at it, and I've always looked at it like, well, Visa, MasterCard, and Discover, and all those companies are the bank. If the people are maxed out on all of those, they probably shouldn't be doing this work on their car anyway. But that's been my opinion. But to go beyond that, I will say we have an extraordinary book of clients that we've built for years and years. And if something is coming up with a client and they're having some difficulty with a particular thing, we will take three payments or something, or post a check or whatever, hold a payment, or we'll do a special arrangement to charge your car once a month for 3 months or something like that. So we do have something, and it's interest free, but it is on a case by case basis.
Thanks, Greg. Craig, are you offering financing?
We do offer it, two different types, CarCare One, and then we also have a local company called Greenleaf. And so they've been instrumental in helping out those that, you know, Greg alluded to that are really financially challenged. I think that, you know, my initial upfront thought about it is just what Greg kind of reacted to. But what I have found that there are people who are challenged based upon uncontrollable life events. And so I think that the option to be able to help them through some of these things, and I'm with Greg, by the way, there are many times where I've help the customer out who's been really, really good and very trustworthy internally as well. So, but we do offer it. Long and the short is we don't tend to end up using it very much, interestingly enough, but it is there and we have had to use it at times and it's been helpful.
Yeah. And the consumers say, sure, offer it to me.
Yeah. And I wouldn't necessarily read this as traditional bank financing. The way that I would interpret this is an option of something to finance, right? Yeah. Kind of like Greg had mentioned. That's how I would interpret this.
Well, yeah. I'm going to revisit it at 40, over 40% of the respondents say yes. I'm thinking, well, right. Maybe it's a lower percentage of my particular clients, but still, right. I mean, if it's available and it doesn't really cost us much, I think we might look into it.
Well, thanks for taking that little side thing for us. Now, this is what we're here to talk about, guys.
Isn't that crazy? I got to give Carm credit where credit's due. I like to think we're smart over here sometimes, but this was a great ad. Look at how ridiculously consistent that is. Exactly. And we touched on this in the last one of our last podcasts with Carm, and it was early on. And I'll tell you what, you know, when you're hitting likely, extremely likely that they're going to schedule and you know, the analogy's been, well, you know, you make an appointment to see your dentist or your doctor, what's the difference with your car? This really kind of sets the stage for people's willingness to actually get things on the calendar. I would almost submit to you that, you know, there's no research behind this, but people that when they are really busy, knowing it's on their calendar actually is helpful. As opposed to going in blind and being like, oh, gosh, I got to schedule it. How do you think things get delayed, right?
Yep.
It's by not having something on the calendar.
Yep.
We got to give Greg his props. So he is the master at this, and he needs full recognition now. Let's get it off the table.
Wow.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Greg tells you how much smoother your front counter will function when you start to make future appointments. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Shopware's shop management system allows customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs all in one place. Now, one, your customer views their outstanding balance. Number two, they are prompted to submit payment directly through their invoice. And three, Shopware's secure portal facilitates payments right there without having to open another browser or remember another password. It's really that simple. Shopware is your complete solution for contactless service. Let remote pay work for you and improve your customer experience. Get started today. Visit getshopware.com for more information and to request a demo. Hey, Carm here. Have you heard this before? If you need something, we're just a phone call away. But then when you need something and you make that phone call, nothing. Well, if you needed something from your marketing company right now, today, could you get their help? Or now that they've got your money, has the personalized attention just faded away? Well, we've all experienced something like this. If you want that to go away, I want to introduce you to my friends over at Shop Marketing Pros. Shop Marketing Pros is a boutique marketing company. Now, what that means is they're small. It also means that they know their clients because they communicate with them regularly. If you're tired of working with a big transactional agency who treats you just like another auto repair shop, well, it's time to talk to the folks over at Shop Marketing Pros. They are a real phone call away. Find them on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. So, Greg, knowing that you own this, and you know, Greg and I actually had a conversation before we got on today, this morning, about how we can actually try to make this a constitution inside of our industry and move. It didn't all start, but to prove what we were doing this Friday, I think it was Tuesday, I'm in my car driving, and an ad for a dentist came on. And one of the words they used was hygiene, and that really resonated with me. And I said, oh my God, we've got the show coming up Friday. How can I bring my feel to the show and to the automotive aftermarket, to the owners and the service advisors that are out there. I got a haircut last week. They said, you're going to schedule, right? What do you think I thought of? My hair grows. I guess I need to come back, right? I eat, I chew. My teeth need to be, we hear more and more about teeth and heart. You know what I'm saying? If we don't know, if we're not smart enough to explain to the customer, listen, I see how many miles you drive. You need to be in here in May. Let me set you up for May 19th. Just drop it off in the morning. We'll take care of all the important maintenance service. And the customer says, no. And I says, Mrs. Smith, you go to the dentist, you go to the hair salon. I mean, why aren't we pushing this harder, or why can't we sell around that, Greg?
That's the $50,000 question right there. It has amazed me over the years, and I have talked to groups before about this process that we've been doing. And what I continually hear back is, well, my clients won't do that. I just get too much pushback. I understand that. If you oversell it, or if you push them really hard, like you're trying to make a sale on something, I think that's where you're going to run into a big problem there. I think if you can couch it in a way that says, look, you are worth it to us as a client. And we need to make sure, because we're very efficient here, we need to make sure that we have the proper amount of time and the right guy in the place for you when you get here to take care of your car. So in order to do that, all I want to do, and here's the magic words, folks, listen up, and it's pencil in an appointment for you. I'm just going to pencil it in for a particular day. You like Mondays? Great. We'll put it in for a Monday. And you know what? A week before that, we're going to contact you. And we're going to make sure that date's okay for you, because guess what? I don't know what I'm going to be doing 4 or 6 months from now. I have no idea. Same thing. You go to the dentist. They say, well, would you like to have your appointment? I'm like, I don't know. Tuesday's fine. You know? And so, okay, they just drop a number on there, and you, as you get closer to it, they confirm it. And yes, it's good, or no, it's not good. And if it's not good, you still move it to whatever day it works for you. And then you just go from there. There's always been, I mean, for years and years and years, I've seen this connection between the dental industry and the automotive industry. And the bottom line is this: nobody really wants to go to the dentist. Nobody really wants to go to get their car serviced and spend money on it. But they know they need to do it, because they know that by not doing it, bad things will happen, right? So it's our job to try to make it least inconvenient for them. The goal here is to get it to a point where they trust you, which takes time to build, okay, where they trust you to just take care of their stuff for it. You're the guy. You're the one that they're going to contact. Well, basically, you're contacting them to tell them that this is what's going to be due on this date and whatever. And they just go, oh, that's right. You told me it was going to need that. And we go and do it. So it's been amazing how well this has worked for us over the years. I started this, well, I first came up with the concept of it in 2003. And I think it was after a dentist appointment. I think I was talking to my dentist about it. And I was like, why, you know, this is stupid. We should be doing this. And I think the very first incentive that we gave out for our clients, because we started this program with a series of incentives. The very first incentive was like middle of 2004. Interestingly enough, I did a little bit of research prior to going to the show. Third and fourth quarters of that year of 2004, turns out that 31% of our appointments ended up being pre-scheduled by the end, which isn't necessarily bad for first rollout. And every year after that, it got better and better and more. And then, interestingly enough, as all things happen, if you take your eye off the ball, this is what happens. I started to see, and I didn't realize this until after this is already happening, that my front office staff, who are responsible for doing this, kind of fell off the wagon there, and they stopped pushing it. And by the time I got to the point where, and it wasn't for this particular reason that I had to replace these people, but once it got to the point where I had, in the year that I had to replace them, they were down to 8%. 8%. Now, we had started at 31%. And since that time, we have steadily grown up. In the last 5 or 6 years now, it's been a very steady 60%. Six out of 10 cars that we see are scheduled 4 to 6 months ago. Now, what that does for us, well, you guys automatically know. It takes a lot of these peaks and valleys out of this process. And I'm not going to say that we don't have our share of issues, especially with COVID, and especially we're in the Washington, D.C. area. And right now, what's happening in Washington, D.C.? Okay, so there's a lot of craziness happening over here. So I'm without getting into that, I can tell you that it's throwing people off their game and out of their schedules. Between the COVID and what's happening downtown, it's just really bad. Okay, so hopefully this will get a little bit easier as time goes on. But I do want to mention the part about why we do it. You have to like think of it like this. We're all creatures of habit, right? All of us. And when we know what's coming, we're automatically less stressed. And when we feel much more in control, we love it. We love to feel like we're in control of what's happening here. And so we know what to expect, right? So what we're trying to do here is to just move that same process and that same idea into the client's mind. We're trying to get that to the client's understanding so that they know that we're the ones that have our stuff together, and we're going to be the ones that are going to take care of their car. We don't have to go through this routine of trying to send out a fishing pole with a big lure on the end of it, says, I'm going to give you this free blah, 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 if you come in, and then yank on the thing to try to get them in the door, which is what a huge percentage of these shops are doing, especially the aftermarket shops, meaning like mass merchandisers and all that. They're doing still, people still doing 995 oil changes out there. I don't get it. But my point is that what that does is that brings in the wrong kind of clients. If you think about what it costs you to get a new client in and get them to trust you or make that sale, as opposed to what it costs you to build that relationship with your long-term client, where they end up just handing you the keys and telling you whatever needs to be done, you can see that it's way better for you to slow down so that you can speed up. We talk about that.
So can I chime in, Mr. Skolnick?
Absolutely.
He is one of my dearest friends and colleagues for sure, and I went back to visit his shop, and I'd like to paint a picture for those out listening. His shop is not, I repeat, not on a main drive-through. He is on a little tiny back road of an industrial area.
Right.
So when I come in to look at his schedule as we do a host shop review, I think it was like 4 years ago or so. Everybody out there, listen to this. So when I go in and I see on his schedule 6 months ahead, 6 to 8 appointments on that schedule.
Every day.
That in and of itself will actually wake you up to some evening out of those peaks and valleys that he's talking about. So I want to paint a picture for you, Greg, because it's rather impressive, even from a business standpoint, to be able to not condition them, but get them used to what's important. So I just wanted to chime that in and paint a picture for them. Sorry about that.
And I have a question for you, Greg. What happens when somebody says no? What do you do? Do you just accept it as it is, or do you?
There are some
bad word, right? Not fails, but
well, this is interesting because I'm a coach also, and I work for Elite Worldwide. At one point, I visited a client's shop in California. While I was there talking to him, just spending time with him, a client, one of his customers drove up and came in, and they were talking about this and that. And he's like, and he said to him, said, Mr. So-and-so, you probably ought to have blah, blah, blah done. And the guy goes, I'm not going to do anything like that. And my client just took it. And I said, wait a second. Hold on a second. Why would you want to let your car do that? Like this, I wasn't a big sales guy, but I'm like, and the guy went, what? And I'm like, well, it doesn't make sense for you to be penny wise and pound foolish here, does it? And the guy goes, you know, you're right. It's like all of a sudden he made the appointment with the guy, right? And I'm like, it's kind of one of those things where you have to find a balance. You don't want to be pounding on these people like you have to do this, but you have to say, this makes sense. This makes sense for you to do it this way. And again, the whole idea of penciling it in is a quasi commitment. It's not an ink. Okay. It's not cast in stone. So if they got some, if you incentivize it in some way, I think it's important. Yes. Pencil in. Sarah, absolutely.
Right.
The point I guess I'm trying to make here is that you do have to read your customers, obviously. And we do have people that just say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to keep the car, whatever. And we hear that and we go, okay, we're still going to contact you in such and such a time to remind you. Like I said, there's 60%. That means there's another 40% that are not. Now, some of those are coming in because it's a problem, or some of them are first time clients that we've not met before for whatever reasons. So there's still the stuff to work on in there, right? It's interesting that we do have to step up and just explain to them why this is important. You go to the dentist and the dentist says, let's make another appointment. You go, nah. Well, they're going to go, okay, wait for the painting.
Exactly.
I think there's a point where you cannot accept no and let it look like a hard sale. I think, listen, Mrs. Smith, you're so reliable on your vehicle, and you know you bring it here. You know why you bring it here? Because we know we can get this thing to last, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles for you. You take care of it. Scheduling ahead is peace of mind for you. I mean, we need as an industry not to feel like we're overselling and we're pounding on people, but just to have a conversation on safety and reliability. And Greg, I somehow in my mind, I think once someone would come back to me and says, yeah, you're right, let's do it. I would like to know, Craig, from you, when you decided, hey, in January 1st, we're going to start doing this, did Greg finally beat the heck out of you and convince you to do this?
Well, look,
he's a little bit larger than I am. I don't know. You can't see,
but Greg is really intimidating. He starts pointing that finger. I mean, it's like E.F. Hutton. You start listening. Yeah. But look, seriously, it's been important to me. Now, look, when I bought the company in 2017, you know, I wanted to do it prior to. And so during that growth up to this point, I just wasn't prepared to pull the trigger. However, I'd like to kind of come up to about 50,000 feet and kind of look at this from the industrial part of it and the consumer part of this, because we've seen a great, and it's good, we've seen a great transition between those shops that really want to be the customer's advocate and help them and truly, you know, support them through our process, meaning the complete repair process, right? And so I think that stigma is finally starting to wash away with the new generations that are coming up, right? The millennials and everybody who's young. And what we've seen, and you can think about it from Peloton. You got Peloton. You've got all of these interactions that are all taking both a leadership role and making it convenient, right, for everybody. Right. And you have everything from, you know, the music and Spotify. Things are convenient because we live in a busy world, right? So I think that those two roads are now finally meeting together, right, where the trust is built in for us being able to take care of them. So when Greg says and talks about trust, I think that's a huge thing. So when we start relating, you know, dentistry to cars, which Greg is 100% correct, there's a lot of coincidental things that match up to what we do versus what they do. And two things that Greg talked about are so key. I can't emphasize this enough because I'm going to project 6 months for you, which are the penciling in part, the flexibility, 100%, he is accurate on that. And the second is they're starting to be able to trust and rely on our help in a scheduled, I don't mean scheduled by our schedule, but a way to control and help them maintain their life. These two things I think are going to be really key, especially right now, because what's going to happen in 6 months? Well, I feel that you're going to see this big transition between, you know, the rhetoric's obviously going to start going down here in the next 30 to 60 days. You've got vaccines coming out and people are going to get back to normal. And that normal is going to be different, but we still are going to be their advocate. And I think that there will be a big, huge wave to be able to capitalize on, because in 6 months, they're going to be not necessarily thinking about their car. They're going to be thinking about Hawaii and Vegas and having some fun. So those reminders that we're setting in place right now will help us in the long run as well.
Right. So, Craig, just a quick comment. One of the things that you mentioned was about the consumer. In a different study that we do, 60, I've been to the shop before and I trust them. For the number one reason why they show up at a general or independent repair shop, those are the top two reasons. Right. And so the dynamics of age, the consumer's age is another very interesting aspect of it. And one of the things that we've learned from a whole boatload of research is that who's the first person somebody that's younger that has a first time experience asks when they need to go have their vehicle repaired? They ask a family member. Right. And so if you're ticking off the top two boxes of I've been there before and I trust them, when, you know, Sally or Jimmy come and say, hey, mom or dad, where do I take this vehicle to have it done that I can trust? Guess what they say? Right.
That's correct. And I did a study over the last 6 months. My daughter, who's 23, I took six of them to dinner again. I've done it three times now and just talked about their communication style and their paths of communication and how they relate to one another. And it, you know what? After I keep saying it all the time, once you pierce the white noise, right, you get down to the basics. Yep. And we're all human. We're going to call a friend, call a family member. We're going to see if they've had any experience. They're going to want to trust. Then they go to the Google reviews and make a decision. It still is about the relational part of it. I think what Greg's talking about today is a huge part of being there for them.
Okay. Right. And that's why they'll trust you.
I got to sort of move forward because I know how much time we don't have
to
do this, but I do want to make sure that we talk to the folks out there about, okay, you got me, Greg. Okay. So now how do I go about doing this? Right. So I need you to understand, guys and ladies, that the first thing we have to do is to take apart what are the processes that are in place here. And I will say, I guess we had a little bit of advantage because at the time when I developed this thing, we only, and we still only work on certain models of vehicles. We work on Honda, Toyota, Subaru, and of course the ancillary vehicles that do that. So, and back in the day, Honda had a very elaborate maintenance schedule. And so they allowed us to say, okay, at this time you need 3,000 miles or 3,750 miles or 3 months, you need blah, blah, blah. And so we made up these services in our software. We called them canned jobs back then. I think they still call them that. I actually had my son, who was in high school at the time, come in over a summer, and he did several thousand of these things. Of course, he created the whole, not only what we were doing, but the individual car down to the specific vehicle. And so it was really great. So we had parts kits and services attached. So, but you don't have to be that focused on it, but create what it is you're going to do and then when you're going to do it. And then we need to develop that maintenance pattern. And then we want to communicate that pattern to the client. So whether it be a sheets or something that says we're going to need to see the car every Toyota, for example, 6 months or 5,000 miles maximum. At least that's what most of them are like. 6 months or 5,000 miles maximum, which means right now we're only seeing them twice a year, primarily if you're living in a metropolitan area like we do. So we see them twice a year. So it's really important to get them in on time. When the light finally comes on their car, the maintenance minder I'm talking about, that was a big problem it started in 2010, somewhere around there. I know Honda came out with this thing. They put it on the Odyssey. And it was like, oh my God, the maintenance minder thing is a huge problem because it throws all of our clients right off that schedule. Now you have to wait for the car to tell you what it needs. Really? Because you're going to wait for the car? Because the car has got, it's got guys in coats that are, white coats down and under the hood there, and they're checking stuff all the time. Yeah, this is plenty of oil in there. Sure, no problem. Wrong. As well as I do, that's the best way to destroy an engine is to wait until that thing says 15% and then then try to figure out how you're going to put an oil change into your pattern, into your daily schedule. So then it's another freaking month beyond that, right? Before you can actually get the oil changed, and pretty soon the thing's burning oil. Seen it? Been there? Seen even Honda created a TSB about this, saying, tell your customers it's okay if it burns oil between oil changes. What kind of crap is that? Seriously.
Greg's not passionate about this. Okay, I'm sorry, he's not so animated.
So here, develop the maintenance pattern. You communicate the pattern to the client, okay, and then you create a series of a process for your front office people, or you, or if you're the guy, or your whoever is checking that client out at the end of the day. And I hope you are doing that because you need to resell that job at the end and go back over what you did that day, and then say, okay, so the next time the car is going to be – next servicing that this car is going to need is just going to be an oil service. It's going to be due 6 months from now or whatever, 3 months from now, and we're going to pencil in a date for that. And that's something you could come and wait with the car if you wanted. It takes about 20 minutes. Come and have a cup of coffee with us.
Now, what did you just talk about, Greg? It's important for everybody to step back and think about it for a minute because it's wonderful to see your passion because two things just got explained. One, you took the car out of the equation of guiding or leading the customer, and you've now switched it to where we are the advocate for the customer and we're being proactive for them. It's huge with regards to the relationship part of it, and that's what
giant
means for our clients. So there you go. It's huge.
It's giant because basically we are in – listen to me, guys. I want you to focus on this because I'm pointing my fingers now. We are in the relationship business. We are not in the car repair business. Do you get that? Understand that whatever you can do to improve that relationship with that client has nothing to do with their car. They're going to have multiple cars over the time that you know them, okay? And they're going to be – I have clients that have been around over 30, 35 years. I've been in business 41 years now. I've been in many funerals over the years because these are part of our family. But I have clients that have been around for years and years and years, just like you would probably be with your dentist if you stay. Only reason people leave dentists if they screw something up or if they move to another city, right? So in any case, what we got to do is to work with a pattern, and we create a pattern for them. It's like teaching them a dance. Okay, so you teach them the steps of the dance, and then you step back and let them do the dance. And you know, there have been times that our clients that go, "Hey, wait a minute!" At the checkout, they go, "You didn't set up my next appointment."
Mm-hmm. I've witnessed that. I have witnessed that. Preach, amen. Right. Can I get an amen? He has pulled that off.
So you know it's working when your customers are now trained to the point where they're going, "Hey, wait a minute! I got to set up my next appointment. Wait, whip out my phone and let's set this thing up." Well, okay. So wait a minute. Let me back up. At the beginning of this thing, you're probably going to get some pushback, but you have to sort of back up a little bit and create some sort of small incentive program for that. I know when we first started it, because we were doing back then in those days, it was oil change services, minor services, intermediate services, and major services primarily were the four big services that we were doing. So we were doing like $10 off an oil change, $20 off a minor service, $30 off an intermediate service, and $40 off a major service. And of course, that $40 off that major service wasn't going to apply to the ticket until they came in, right? I mean, you're not actually spending the money now. So in any case, what we found over time was that they don't care how much it is. They don't. We're doing $5 now. Sure. We've been doing $5 for pre-scheduling credits for a long time, and no drop off. No, nobody even says anything about it. It's like, "Hey, I'm getting a pre-scheduling credit. Great." You know, so create a program. And when they say, "Nah, I don't want to do that." Look, you just say, "Look, $40 is $40. All I'm doing is penciling it in. It's worth it." And they go, "Okay."
Greg, I think that's a really, really great commentary as well. And I think you're hitting on something that we look at all the time, which is who's the customer in the channel? Who's the independent repair shop customer at their core? You know, and you know, sadly, we can define them to the extent that we know what they listen to on the radio and what they watch on TV. And we look at them in a hard pattern perspective. They're different than those that would go to a Quick Lube, let's just say. And they were different than those that go to a general repair shop. But and their behaviors are different of why they're going to these places as well. And I think that's a really, really, really great insight, because the pushback that they're all price shopping when they're going into the general repair shop channel and the independent is not, I don't think that's true at all.
It's not.
We know it's not true. We know it's not true.
It's not. And again, it's in our best interest to have fewer clients that have higher ticket averages, right? Right. Right.
Well, true. And I'll chime in and say to the beginning rollout of this, right, we're actually having some fun. So as you described the situation with the customers about penciling that in, right, and the ones that probably, well, no, and it's more of a Jerry Maguire moment. It's help us help
show
you.
Money.
That's
right.
Really what it is, right?
Show so, me the money. Well, it's
well, that's on the back end, but.
Right. It's interesting you say that, because one of the things that I had written down as a talking point that I want to mention, and you guys, and Carm, you talked about millennials, and Bill, you did too as well. Well, as well, millennials are definitely in the "what's in it for me" generation, right?
So be careful.
Okay, well, I wanted to say the millennials, but I mean, any client, in order to get them to do something like this, they have to understand what's in it for them, okay? And that's where you come up with this incentive program of some sort, because like I said, $40 is $40.
I changed that comment to be a little bit more dynamic, Greg. We have this comment all the time about millennials. And the thing that I've noticed for a while, and I think it's changing, is that we've boxed millennials into something of when they were first defined. But the reality is millennials are now up to the age of 41. And I'd rather talk about it in terms of life stages. They're out of college. They got their first apartment. They got married. They got their first car. They have kids. All in that span of 40 years. And so when we generationally define them, maybe there's some patterns there. I think the patterns are more where do they go to get their information, not a personality trait in its entirety, right? And I think that generational, that life stage is really where we should be looking in when we classify our customers, right?
Yeah, and it's almost higher than that. It's almost the technology age, not necessarily generation.
Sure.
Because my 81-year-old mother is on Facebook and texts me like she's never called me hardly, you know, as much as she texts me. So everybody's getting used to the convenience and the ease of it. And so there we are.
I'm going to say that this was on fire so far. Thank you so much. I'm going to take some blame for where Greg is positioned in his mindset right now, because we spoke an hour before this and we were going at it. I mean, we were both brimstoning each other on soapboxes, and it just carried over to the show. I should do this with every guest in the future. So thank you for your passion. There's been a lot of great comments in social media. And let me just toss this out, and you guys can go with it wherever you want. Can you imagine that the phone rings and your service advisor needs to spend 10 minutes to schedule an appointment and discuss with the client? But if that appointment was done, think of the number of times. Say you have a dozen on your appointment calendar. That's a dozen times 10, 120 minutes of time you don't have to invest.
Exactly.
Remember, Craig, when you came to our shop, matter of fact, one of the things that you remarked on was how quiet it was in the front office.
Yep.
Because the phone isn't ringing, and people freak out about the fact that the phone isn't ringing, but that's okay because we've got all the cards are coming in, and we're making a phone outgoing phone calls to the clients, right?
You know what I called it? You know what I called it? I called it proactive internal and external communication. It was unbelievable to hear the lack of incoming calls for both sides of it, whether it's a return call of the advisor, whether it's calling for a set up an appointment. I mean, the phone rang. I mean, it worked. Don't get me wrong. But it was zen in there. And I took some of already what I'd learned at that point and changed that around, right? But he is 100% correct. So imagine the freed up time that you get for the advisors to even build further on the relationship with the client and the customer. It's amazing what happens when that relationship develops. This goes to trust, right?
Okay. So the main focus here, without getting too zen, is to move from a reactive situation or a reactive shop focus to an acting upon or an action focus. So we are taking control of the process and moving it forward in a pattern that we are directing primarily. Of course, the client's always in charge of what we're doing on their car, but we're the ones that are saying, hey, this is the time, just like your dentist says, hey, this is the time we need to get x-rays. Okay, we're going to get x-rays. I mean, are you going to say, no, I don't want to do x-rays now? So it's like,
he's right. No. 100% correct.
So I mean, just to be efficient about it, literally, and I timed this many times, and Craig knows this, it takes 10 minutes for when the phone rings for a service advisor to stop what they're doing, making that estimate or preparing that sale, and get on the phone with that person, hi, Ms. Jones, blah, 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 and then go through and pick up their stuff and figure out what it, 10 minutes per call. Okay, so the amount of time that you're wasting doing that when you could be doing this ahead of time in a different format is priceless.
And on an average smaller shop at 12 average customers that you want a day, that's 120 minutes and 2 hours throughout the day that somebody's getting the phone. Think about that.
Hey, guys, Greg Buckley made a comment here. Even though you pencil in the next appointment, do you still rely on your CRM process to follow up with that?
Yes, and make sure whether you have an automated system in your software or whether you do it yourself, it must be done.
Yes.
It must be done. You cannot not call these people and remind them, okay, or else you'll blow the entire thing.
Yeah. Don't pencil in. I'm robbing something, Greg. Don't pencil in the process. You got to make it law, and then that's when the consistency happens.
Right, consistency.
Go back to the dentist, and guys, this whole healthcare thing is so similar. We traveled on the same laneways, if you will, in think, you know, diagnostic versus testing and all this stuff. My phone just chimes up and it reminds me a week later, and they allow me to text back and says, yes, I'm confirming. And then 2 days before, I get the same text to be sure. I mean, you know how crazy our worlds and our lives are. Frankly, I love the fact that I can get pre-scheduled appointments for hair and teeth.
We have 7 loaner cars, okay, in our shop. That's another process that we had created years ago, back in 1984. We only have so many of these things. And if they want one of those loaner cars or need one of those loaner cars, and who doesn't in the world of COVID, we need to make sure that they get their spot for that. So there's another way of pushing that forward. And because we are doing the taking the loaner car to them, or maybe we're just taking a follow car to them and dropping off our follow car and then picking up their car, bringing it to the shop, doing the servicing. I mean, we're doing all of that now because of COVID. So in order to get that, it takes additional time to have a staff member go and get the car and all that and bring it back and do the whole salinization of it at the end. so it's impressive when you think about it. If you guys start thinking about this process, removing it, it goes out further and further and further to how we're dealing with our clients in a much larger and global scale. So we're just touching the surface here. I'm just saying you got to get going on it. It works on any shop. It works. I don't care what your situation is. I heard people say, well, I get 10,000 cars a day going past my shop. So how much time does it take to deal with, you know, a line of people at the door? Are you doing proper work? Are you doing great services? Inspections? Are you spending enough time with them? Probably not.
Well, I think we could go on for 2 hours, Greg, but I'm going to jump in here. I pulled out a very interesting piece of information from a survey, Bill. It says one virtual transaction that engenders a high level of interest globally is virtual servicing. And Greg, you just defined it, where a vehicle is picked up from the home or office when it needs service. Consumers in the U.S. say 46%. The Republic of Korea, 70%. Japan, 67%. Are largely in favor of the added convenience provided it comes free of charge. So I think you're at a point where if we were going to re-strategize our whole businesses, you know, because of what we've learned from COVID, because it's just smart to do business this way. And again, I never thought of it called virtual servicing, but I like that term. I want to go around the room and get any final. I'm going to have to put you at the end, Greg, because of, oh my God, you know, but Bill Thompson from IMR, president of IMR Automotive Service Research, thank you for the data to continue to prove. Let me put that slide up one more time if I can, right? To continue to prove that 59.7% of consumers will accept an appointment in the future. What, like Greg said earlier, what more do you need, right? What more do you need?
Yeah. And there's a little, I'll do a little commentary on that for a moment, which is simply that. That's 26,000 households. It's not like it's a handful of people sitting around a keg drinking beer. It's a lot of people, and it's week over week. So that's good. And if I may, only because this is slightly self-serving, somebody in the comments asked me what that was behind me. It's a gentleman out of Chicago. He's a photographer named Freddie Fabris, F-A-B-R-I-S. He took a bunch of Renaissance paintings and used automotive technicians in replace of the actual. So that's a Rembrandt, and those are actual Chicago-based technicians. You can find them. They're actually here. Cool. So look him up. He's really awesome, and he's done a whole series of technician-based art.
Now that was a nugget right there.
There's a nugget.
You know how hard it is to find automotive art? It's really kind of
that's positive.
Thank you so much, Bill. Craig, thanks for being here with all you got going on and your contributions. Any final words?
You know, just again, focus on the relational part of what our responsibility to help the client is about. I can't say enough about how impactful what Greg has brought to just us as colleagues as a relationship, but he's just passionate about this topic, as you can see. And I think that it's great to remember this is all about being proactive. And that's the most important thing. If we can control the car, we don't get the car controlling us, right?
So if I love my customer, I need to do this, right, Greg?
Absolutely.
Who doesn't love your customer? Because if you don't love them, I'm gonna. Basic bottom line, right?
Do you have any final words?
The end result of this is that we will have trained our clients. I know it sounds kind of weird, like it's not like dog training, but we are trained our clients that they can trust us, that we're their guy or we're their shop. We've got our stuff together. That guy over there with the fly-by-night shop or a mobile, whatever, he doesn't have his stuff together. He's looking at what I can get today, right? And we got our stuff together. We know that they don't have to do this work today. We're going to do it next time the car comes in because you know what? We know what's going to need. We know how long it's going to take. We're going to remind you when it needs it. We're going to come pick up your car. We're going to do all of these steps, okay? So, you know, it's interesting because I had a service advisor came aboard with me at one point and came to me like after 2 weeks and said to me, this is, and she was from New York, okay? So she says to me, your clients are like butter, which means I can sell anything to them, anything. You don't have to work at it. And of course, this person came from a dealership. And of course, it's a different world than a dealership world. But our clients do what we ask them to do. and we don't overstep that boundary, you know. So, but this is part of it. This is only a piece of this now, guys. Pay attention to what's going on in the big 360 degrees.
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.